Good morning and welcome to church this morning. It might be a little bit overcast and dreary out this morning, but I am so glad that you can be with us today, that you're here this morning ready to worship God and to open your hearts to all that he has for us. Now we're going to go over and get a few morning announcements before we start service.
Good morning. I'm Sarah Lynn Keller, the Director of Spiritual Vitality here at First Church Natick, and we are so pleased to welcome the Reverend Tiffany Spigarolo to our digital pulpit this morning. Tiffany attended Andover Newton Theological Seminary, where she achieved her master's in divinity. And many of you will remember Tiffany from her time as a student minister here with us at First Church a few years ago. She completed her clinical pastoral education at the Bridgeport Hospital in Connecticut. And it was during her time in the hospital training that she found her passion for hospital chaplaincy. And she began to hear her call more clearly to hospital chaplaincy as she accepted the position of pastoral care coordinator at the Metro West Medical Center. So we are pleased that she is close by and working in our hospital. While working in the hospital, she was also completing the member and discernment process in the United Church of Christ, and she is looking forward to her ordination ceremony as soon as some more of the restrictions around COVID have been lifted and it is safe for everyone to come together. So we look forward to that happy occasion with her in the future. Welcome, Tiffany. And we also want to thank our worship leaders this morning joining Tiffany. We have Tom Foster and Wayne and Jeanette Serretter. And also behind the scenes, we have Hank Serretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Pegasus doing all of the technical expertise that we need to make this broadcast happen. And we appreciate their efforts so much. Right, following these announcements, we will have a time to light a candle. So we invite you to have a candle in your own worship space, wherever you are today, to set up that worship space and to join us in worship together. We will also have a time of public prayer, concerns, and celebrations following the reflection this morning. And so if you would like to send in your prayer requests or celebrations, you can do that by email to admin@firstchurchnatick.org. And we can accept those prayer requests right up until a partway through the reflection time. We welcome that. And then following worship today, we invite everyone to join us via Zoom to a post-worship fellowship hour. And this gathering is a weekly gathering that's lively and fun. We invite you all that you can find that Zoom link in many, many places on our church website, via the link email that's sent out weekly. And there will also be a screen at the very end of this service that gives you that link as well. Let's see, so we also have a time of midweek connection and prayer on Wednesdays at noon, and all are welcome to join us for that. It's about a half an hour. It's a time to check in, share prayer concerns, and pray together. You're all invited to that. And that's also via Zoom. You can find those links in the usual places as well. And Jonathan returns from his vacation on Tuesday. So if you are in need of pastoral care, you can contact him on Tuesday or after via email or his cell phone. And we also want to thank all the folks who have participated in our all-church survey. If you have not received a phone call and would like to participate in that survey, just give our church office a call and we can set that up for you. And now we continue our worship with the lighting of the candle.
Let us now light our candles together, remembering by these friendly flames that by the power of the Spirit, we are one in Christ. No matter how distance may divide us, we are one. Let us continue to worship now with our responsive call to celebration.
Friends, we know what God desires of us.
That we do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with God.
We gather this morning to remind each other about that.
To remember that now is always the right time to do these things.
So with thanks in our hearts, let us worship God. Please join us in our opening prayer as we say together, O God, as we celebrate your love for us this day, may we also remember our role in your creation. May we be faithful in our love to you and all you have created as you have been in your love for us. Open our ears to hear you in new ways and open our minds. Open our eyes to see all that is unseen around us. Open our hearts to be honest and ready to show your light each day. Amen.
I invite each of you now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing or placing your hands over your hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our peace. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
There are many ways that we bless people's lives. One of those ways is by praying for them and sharing with them the many gifts and talents that God has blessed us with. While we are not passing the offering plate at this time, we do hope that you will continue to be a supporter of this church, but more importantly, of this church's mission and ministry. There is no time more important than now for each of us to reach out to others. You can continue to give to that mission and ministry by mailing in checks or giving online. In a world that is changing minute by minute, day by day, I challenge you to find a way to share your offerings to each other, to the community, and to the world. Let this hour of virtual worship be a space where we can bring our whole and authentic selves as love and loving neighbors. Please join me in the spirit of prayer. God of power and love, we come to worship this day in anticipation, to hear the music, to be fed by the word, to reconnect with family, but most of all, to listen to your voice as it might speak to us in the silent moments. May your goodness and caring be affirmed in the gifts that we give. And as worship comes to an end, may we hear Jesus' voice, sending us out into the field of mission. May we listen and go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 1 through 25. Again, he began to preach beside the lake. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the lake and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the lake on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. Since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And he said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." When he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive. They may indeed listen, but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root and endure only for a while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold. He said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under the bushel basket or under the bed and not on the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be disclosed, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Let anyone with ears to hear listen. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given you. For to those who have, more will be given, and from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. Here ends today's reading.
Will you please pray with me? Lord, I ask that you speak through me, and I ask that you speak in spite of me. I ask that the words that are heard this morning are your words and are what needs to be heard by your congregation today. Amen. 2020 has been quite a year. It started off with a fairly mild winter, the start to what many of us thought would be a great year. But as many things happened, the world started to change. The world took on a different light, and people began to do things differently than we've done them for so many years. We began to work from home, to do school virtually, to learn how to be in community with one another from a distance. It's a world that many of us never thought that we would be a part of, and yet here we are, coming down to the end of 2020, and becoming more and more accustomed to the changes that have taken place. One thing that has come out of the early 2020 that I've noticed is so many people taking on new challenges, taking on the projects that they never thought that they'd get to, cleaning out their houses, doing house projects, doing crafts, learning a new skill. One of those many skills that we've seen that has blessed the hospital where I work at is so many of you who have created prayer shawls that we've been able to continue to distribute to families and to patients to surround them with hope and with prayer as they walk through such a difficult time in their life. I, on my own, in the midst of a pandemic, decided to take on the challenge of gardening. Now, I come from a family where most of the past generations have been dairy farmers or vegetable farmers or flower farmers. So this shouldn't be a tough task for me. It's something that's in my DNA. It's something that people have done in our family for years. And I was excited to take on this challenge. So before the pandemic hit, me and my nephew planted seeds. And we decided we were going to create a garden at his house and a garden at my house and kind of bear the fruits of our harvests together. And so we planted all kinds of things, eggplants, tomatoes, cucumbers, pumpkins, you name it, we planted it. And the seeds remained at my house until it was time to plant. Well, then a pandemic hit. And I realized that the garden out back was probably not fit for anything. The soil was bad and there was not enough nutrients in it. And family members who were farmers were telling me that they had tried to have a garden in such tumultuous soil and it didn't work any year. So then I really needed to put some work in. So I did just that. I started to turn the soil and to add nutrients. And then the plants that were in the pots began to grow and grow. And I couldn't see my nephew, so I had an abundance of seedlings that were just growing out of control. But we continued to learn and to sow. And so this particular parable is so interesting at this time in 2020. Let's dive a little bit into the scripture and see how it relates to what we're going through in the world today. The scripture opens with Jesus getting on a boat to tell the parable to the people. Now, this opening might not seem different for many of you because Jesus is on boats quite often, but at that time, it would be very uncharacteristic to preach or to teach the people not in a synagogue. You might have heard people in the crowd moaning and groaning and saying things like, the damp air might make people sick, or there's a lot of mosquitoes down by the shore. Why isn't he in the synagogue? Or we better be careful because someone might drown. But Jesus knew what he was doing. He was setting the scene. He had a boat that could elevate him so the people could see him. It was an open area, so those who didn't feel safe or comfortable in a synagogue could still come and hear the message of the word. And he became available to all people. No matter who they were, they could feel safe to come as they were and to hear Jesus's message. It's true that he began to preach in parable. And now this is something that's pretty interesting. Why would we preach in parable? Well, a parable is the spiritual truth alongside a daily truth of living. So Jesus took something that was fairly commonly known about, and he mixed into it a message that he was trying to give the people in a way that he thought that they could better understand. So Jesus described something that was familiar to all of them, which would be farming, the way that they received most of their vegetables and their different plants that they had to till the soil and farm themselves, something that they may have seen before. Now, when we get a little bit further into that scripture, we start to hear about the sower sowing the seeds. And we hear that seeds are falling and are being cast out kind of all over the place. And for many of us, we might think, well, how careless for this farmer to just be spilling seeds left and right. But he wasn't intentionally or stupidly or carelessly sowing these seeds. It might have been that he reached in the bag and just a few sprinkled out. So we're not talking about seeds being scattered aimlessly or pointlessly falling onto land that they wouldn't thrive in, but instead accidental seeds that are falling down, that are landing in places where they wouldn't intentionally be sowed. Really, this parable shouldn't be called the parable of the sower, but instead it should be called the parable of the soils. Because we don't talk much about the sower in this parable. In fact, he only has a portion at the very beginning when he dropped the seeds. Instead, it's all about the soil in which these seeds land and whether or not it is effective for them to continue to grow. So why did he use parables? Why did he use this parable first? Well, parables in their spiritual function are more like a riddle or a puzzle than like an illustration. So it's not a picture being painted for us, but instead a riddle that we're trying to peel away the layers of. Parables can be understood by those who have the right key to understand the riddle and the puzzle. And for many of us, as we read these parables, we're trying to fit the keys of our life into them to find our own meaning. But instead, we should focus on what Jesus and God are sharing with us as the key to what we need to use to unlock the riddle itself. If you don't understand the key to the parable, you don't understand the parable at all. We can imagine that with different people in Jesus's audience, they might have thought that he was teaching to them specifically. In fact, if you were a farmer that was listening to the parable, you might have thought that Jesus was telling you that you have to be more careful in the way that you cast your seeds. And think about, well, am I wasting an awful lot or am I sowing an awful lot? If you're a politician in the crowd listening to the parable, you might think, he's teaching me that I need to begin a farmer's education program to help the farmers be more effective in casting their seeds. This will be a big boost for my reelection campaign. If you're a newspaper reporter that's listening to the parable, you might have thought, he's telling me that there's a big story here about a bird problem and how it affects the farming community. That's a great idea for a series in the paper. Or if you're a salesman, you might have thought, he's encouraging me in fertilization sales. Why, I could help that farmer be more effective if he knew the right products to use. Each individual is looking at the riddle from their own perspective instead of from the perspective of that the key is pointing us to. Instead of focusing on our world and trying to unlock the parable so that it fits the box that we want it to, we have to make sure that the key fits. Because if you miss the key, you in fact miss the whole parable. Jesus then goes on in his teachings and begins to talk about why he was doing this parable in the first place. But before he jumps into that lesson of why the parable and why now, he actually explains why he uses a parable at all. He says, do you not understand this parable? Then how do you understand all parables? Jesus considers that the parables are the essential understanding to other parables that he's going to share. This parable is the key to unlock other parables that we'll hear later in the stories. The sower sows the word. Jesus says that the word of God is like a seed. It gets planted in our hearts, and then it has the potential to bear fruit. But not every seed grows. Not every seed is going to bear fruit. The kind of soil that it lands on is going to make all the difference in continuing to farm our hearts and prepare our lives for the messages that God's going to share. You see, each and every one of us has our own garden, our spiritual garden that we're growing with Christ and that we're growing with our community each and every day. Much like the garden that I have out back, it wasn't ready to bear seeds and it wasn't ready to prepare fruit. I had to prepare it to be ready to receive the seeds so that they had a chance to grow. In our lives, there's so many times when our heart isn't ready for the messages that Jesus and God are trying to share with us, that the Trinity is trying to put in our heart so that we may continue to grow in our faith and to grow in our love and to grow in our spirituality and understanding of the messages that are being shared in the Bible. You see, if we look at the parable, it continues on to say that these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. So some of the seeds, some of the people are like the ground on a pathway. This is the hard ground because people walk on it all the time and beat it down into the path and into a road. Some people are like the wayside. They have the word of God and they allow no room for seeds in their lives and it never enters. Some of us let other people and other things beat us down to the point that our soil is so solid that there's no way that we would be able to plant a seed because we wouldn't be able to dig the hole needed for a seed to be able to thrive. The ground would be compact and dry, easy to walk on and easy to be walked over by others. This is something that we're being warned about. We need to be preparing that heart, preparing that soil, because some of us are hardened by the world around us. The next soil that Jesus talks about is rock covered. Some people are like that rocky ground that's only covered by a thin layer of topsoil. They might receive the word with a flash of enthusiasm, and then it's going to quickly peter out, burn out, and fade away. The soil is not deep enough and not nutritious enough to sustain life or to continue to plant seeds that'll thrive and become and bear fruit. So we have to be careful of us having a surface relationship with our faith, knowing that it might be exciting in one moment, it might be exciting to share our passion and love of our faith with others because it's something that might be showy or we might be able to show off, but then burns out and fizzles out and we might go back to our old ways, or we might just not even be looking for what the scripture is trying to teach us, that that flash of enthusiasm kind of burns out. There's no room in that thin topsoil for those seeds to take root and to really thrive. So inevitably they're going to wither and they're going to die. Then there are the seeds that fall amongst the thorns. Some of us are like the seeds that do fall amongst the thorns, and we receive the word, but allow the interests and cares of the world to choke it out. This is the area that I see many people living in, that they want their faith and they want to continue to reach out and to learn and to grow into the Christian that they want to become. And yet they let the influence of people around them stifle and choke out that faith, or they let things that have happened in the past stifle and choke out who they are and not let them come as their authentic selves. I encourage you to think about that. And then there's the last kind of soil, the kind of soil that is good ground, that has been fertilized and turned and has vitamins and water and is ready to receive a seed. And they accept the word into their heart and they bear fruit and they fulfill the purpose of the seed. You see, in our lives, we come into our faith with hearts that are like the garden in my backyard. Sometimes they're not ready to receive seeds, so we have to do the work. We have to turn the soil. We have to add different kind of fertilizers and different kind of vitamins. And we have to really take a look at the garden and say, is it ready to receive the seeds that God is sowing with us? And if it's not, it's okay, because there's an ability to continue to grow within yourself and to grow who you are and to know that seeds can be planted and can take root and can grow. It might just take a little bit of work. The joy of being a part of this church and a community is that we have a community garden. And those of us who are growing plentiful gardens and are harvesting many fruit and we're bearing a lot of different things have the ability to help others and help them till their soil and help them turn over the hard rocks and to move away the thorny bushes and to prepare their soil to be ready to receive seeds. The trick is knowing whether or not your soil is ready first, because you can't take care of someone else's garden if your garden is fallen to the wayside. This week, as we head back out into another week of uncertainty in the world of 2020, I invite you to bring your authentic self. I invite you to look within your heart and to do a little homework. Your homework for this week is to think about, if God had a farmer's store, what would you need to go buy this week? Do you need to go buy fertilizer? Because you need to put nutrients back in the soil of your life? Do you need to go outside and get some sun because you need to strengthen the seeds that you've already planted? Or do you need to pour some water on the seeds so that you can feel refreshed and ready to receive God's word and bear fruit? God knows who you are, and he knows the soil that is created in your heart. I encourage you to bring your authentic self, to come as you are, to this community place where we can each help each other grow our gardens. Amen. As we gather as a virtual community of faith, I lift up in prayer this morning all of those that are on our hearts. We pray this morning for the staff that is working in the hospitals all over the nation and the world, caring for patients and for families that are in need today. We pray for those who are home alone, separated from family, that they might know that they are not alone, but instead they are with us in our hearts every day. We pray for those who are struggling with the destruction that follows, whether that they can rebuild and sustain through this difficult and challenging time. We pray for this nation as we head through a difficult time, that we may support each other, that we may hear one another, and that we may give each other grace as it's needed. We now turn to our concerns and celebrations that Wayne is going to share from our hearts and from our congregations.
Good morning. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the safe beginning of school for students and teachers at all levels, from preschool to college. Prayers of support for the Trump family who lost the president's younger brother, Robert, this weekend. Celebrations to Reverend Tiffany's second niece, who was born recently. And lastly, we celebrate that Anna Hayes is going to be home from Whittier Hospital this week. Anna thanks everyone for your prayers and cards while she was recuperating in the hospital, and she certainly looks forward to connecting with everyone by phone when she returns home.
Please join me in the spirit of prayer. Holy, gracious, and loving God, we come to you this morning with all emotions in our hearts. We know that this year has been tough so far, but yet there are joys and celebrations, as well as sadness, that continue to happen each and every day. I ask that you continue to bless those that are in recovery, Lord, that are walking through the struggling path of finding their way, that you may be a light that shines for them. I ask that you be the celebration in the hearts of those who are returning home or that are accepting new life into their families, that you may guide them in the right direction, that you may help them to feel whole, that they may feel lifted up and held by your community. For those who are struggling with the sadness and sorrow of loss and grief this week, Lord, we ask that you continue to show them that there is a way when it feels like there is no way, that you may be a reaching hand that will guide them to the path that they might not even be able to see for themselves, Lord, knowing that this community is there, also reaching out and loving them all along the path. Though we have days that are good and days that we struggle, we ask that you continue to give us the strength to carry through each and every day. And as we head into the beginning of a new year for school students, we ask that you guide the teachers and the decision makers' hearts that they might do the best that they can to make the best decisions that they can for the students. And for the students, I pray that they're able to give grace and give love in the moments where this might seem unimaginable, unfair, or even undoable, that you might put on their heart the ability to continue to work through it as family and as friends and as a supportive community, that once again, you will walk with us, beside us, not in front of us or behind us, but instead as our equal partner in our faith journey. Continue to surround this community garden as we till one another's hearts and souls, as we continue to build ourselves and prepare ourselves for the seeds that you are ready to plant and the word that we are able to hear. Open our eyes and our ears to those around us who need us and guide us into your light. Amen. Let us now say the prayer that Jesus taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Into the world this week, knowing that there's still time to sow seeds. Continue to go to the farmer's market with each other and to find if we need fertilizer or water or sun, and continue to build the garden in your heart so that God may continue to sow the seeds. Go forth this week knowing that God is with you. Amen. Thank you.